Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Then when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week we talked a little about fear as we heard those encouraging words from the Lord to Joshua, son of Nun, where he said, "Be strong and courageous." Well, this week we read about fear again in our gospel reading about Jesus calling his first disciples, especially from Simon, or as we know him, Peter. But the kind of fear that we read about today is different from Joshua taking on a new leadership role or leading people into battle, or fear that comes from our own insecurities. The fear we read about today has to do with seeing and experiencing something so utterly different, strange, and out of the ordinary that it makes you terrified when you see it. It's as if these chairs here this morning started to levitate and go around in circle all by themselves and no one was touching them. You would think that'd be a little weird, wouldn't you? That's not supposed to happen. Science couldn't explain it. It'd probably freak many of us out. Now, suppose someone came up here and said that they were causing the chairs to levitate in a circle and float around. And in fact, they can make them stop and start at will. Well, you might be afraid of that person, wouldn't you? Why? Because if that person could do that, what else could that person do? And more importantly, what could that person do to me? You know, what are their intentions toward me, right? So there's fear in seeing something so out of the ordinary like that and unusual. So there's fear when things are different and things change, but this isn't, chairs floating around in a circle isn't just different, it's different in a huge way. After all, you know that miracles probably can't happen. You know supernatural probably doesn't exist because you had a science class in high school once upon a time. Or you just can't understand, you can't fathom why this is happening. There must be a logical explanation, a reason for it. But your brain can't come up with one because of what your eyes are seeing happening. This is called a paradigm bomb. A paradigm bomb, that's a good way to describe it. And a good way, I think, to describe what was taking place on the lake that day when Jesus, Simon, and his fishing buddies went out fishing. But this shouldn't be so surprising to Peter, should it? Or to Simon, should it? After all, he's been walking around with Jesus for some time now, leading up to this point in the Gospel of Luke. He's heard Jesus preaching for quite a bit already publicly. He's seen people get healed, Jesus' healing ministry, and demons being cast out when Jesus would do that. He even had his own mother-in-law healed of a fever at the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. But there on the lake, Simon does something different. He calls Jesus Lord and or Master for the very first time. Not to mention that he's scared to death about what happens and he feels exposed. Why? Why now and not at other points in the ministry where Simon has heard Jesus preaching and seeing his miracles. Why this miracle? Why was this miracle different from the others in such recent memory? Why is it so powerful and impactful that Simon's own fishing buddies drop everything as well to follow him, including boatloads of fish still sitting on the shore? Well, Simon and others, mostly Simon though, is overtaken by awe in our reading today. They're astonished, they're mesmerized, they are amazed and yes, afraid. Their world has been rocked by Jesus. All they want to do is run away, but Simon can't, can he? He's in the same boat with Jesus. He can't get away. There's no hiding, nowhere to run. Simon is who he is, in the same boat with Jesus, who he is and has shown himself to be here. This miracle is yet another epiphany of the glory of God in Christ, the appearance of divinity, power, majesty, and love. Here we have God appearing to his people through his one and only Son, and Simon can't get away. Even if he jumped in the water, Jesus can go after him on foot, can't he? He walks on water. In a little while, he'll do just that. Theologians call this a theophany, a visible manifestation or an appearance of God. Fear is a natural emotion to feel when you're confronted or experience the power and the presence of God in this way. But this power that Jesus displays is different. It's a different kind of power than the disciples have experienced before. He isn't using his power to get rich. He isn't using his power to manipulate or coerce someone into doing something that they don't want to do. They're doing something, he's using this power differently than the disciples have seen in the Roman Empire all around them. There's abundance, there's a goodness, there's grace in this supernatural event that takes place on the lake, the Sea of Galilee, what Luke calls Lake Gennesaret that day. The goodness, the provision of God is put on display in this miracle. This theophany shows us a different kind of power than the power we see in the world or maybe in our own lives as we use it to get for ourselves. Ever since his appearance in his hometown in Nazareth, Jesus has been engaged in a public preaching and deliverance ministry. He's traveled to Capernaum along the Sea of Galilee, which is where Simon's from, and where his mother-in-law lives. She had a high fever. Jesus comes in chapter 4, heals her of that fever. His physical and spiritual healings are demonstrating who Jesus is as he goes from town to town, that the kingdom of God is present in him, that what was said about him, about what was said by the prophet Isaiah was said about him, that he was anointed by the Spirit of God, chapter 4, verse 18, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said he's the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. Now that's going public in a huge way. He says in 4, verse 43, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because for that I was sent. That's why I was sent, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus continues this public preaching ministry as he's preaching there on the beach, the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum, chapter 5. The people were crowding around him, it says in verse 1, and listening to the word of God. People crowded in to hear God's word from Jesus, to hear God's word from Jesus there on the beach. Nearby, we see some fishing boats and their nets after a night's work. So it says Jesus got into Simon's boat, and then Jesus continued to teach the crowd a little offshore while he's sitting in the boat. Then, after his sermon, Jesus says he wants to go fishing. But little did everyone know that the sermon wasn't really over yet. In verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, you could take those words, deep water, and make a big metaphor out of them if you want to, but I think that's just where the fish were hanging out that day, and Jesus knew it. So head out into the deep water. But Simon says, we've already done this, Lord. We've been out all night, verse 5, and we haven't caught anything. The fish just aren't biting. What's the use? This is a waste of time. The nets are already cleaned from our failed effort. Jesus, however, wasn't with them when they went out the first time. You see, I think this is why something clicked inside of Peter that day, more so than at other times. This time, I think it hits close to home for Simon Peter. Fishing is his specialty. Fishing is his livelihood. Fishing is his profession. He's not a doctor, so watching a fever go away at the words of Jesus, it's impressive, but maybe not earth-shattering for him. But Simon knows fish. Simon knows when fish bite and when they don't. He knows what time of day is best. He knows the direction of the currents, the ideal weather conditions to catch fish. And he knows what a standard catch of fish with those size nets would be. And he knows what they would be on a good day and a great day. But Jesus is about to blow his paradigm and all that he thinks he knows about fish and the fishing industry. What Jesus is about to do is so earth-shattering, so obviously supernatural, that all he can do is fall on his knees there in that boat and confess his unworthiness to the Lord. This miracle hits close to home, I think, for Simon. It touches on his career, his profession, his identity, what he thinks he's an expert at and knows everything about. All that's going to change. All of that's going to change now. But because you say so, Lord, I will let down the nets, Simon says. Okay, I'll humor you, Lord. I really know that nothing really is going to happen. This isn't the right time of day or the right depth of water or the right weather conditions. Jesus, I know fishing. This isn't going to work, but I'll humor you. We'll go out. Now, I appreciate Simon the realist, because that's me. Simon should realize by now, though, that when Jesus is present, all things are possible. He should know that by now, that when Jesus is present, when Jesus goes with you, all things are possible. The nets are lowered in the deep water, and they begin to break because of the large catch. Simon got his buddies in their boat to come over and help, and so it says they filled the boats, both boats, so full of fish, they began to sink. This can't be happening. This isn't how the fishing industry works. This isn't best practice. This never happens. There's an overwhelming abundance of fish. So many, in fact, that Simon knows immediately that no one other than God is at work through Jesus right there. Verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. Notice he fell at the knees of Jesus and not his feet. Why the knees and not the feet? Well, obviously, he can't find the feet of Jesus. The boat's full of fish. He can only see the knees of Jesus through all those slimy, smelly fish. I always imagine Simon Peter falling on his knees in an empty boat for some reason when he does this. But it's a small boat, and it's about to sink because of the amount of fish in there. He can't see his feet. But Simon Peter is so overtaken by awe at what just happened, he's terrified. He knows that something supernatural just happened, and he feels exposed. His response is similar to that of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 when he had his vision. He says, woe to me, I cried when he saw the Lord in his vision. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Simon and everyone else, it says, were astonished or overtaken by awe at what had just happened. Simon is undone. He knows he's in the presence of a very powerful being who has shown his goodness and his abundance and his power to even control nature, to control creation. Through this miracle, he not only sees a display of power, but he sees a display of holiness. And in the realization of that holiness, he realizes and he comes face to face with his own unholiness. I am a sinful man, he tells Jesus. As if Jesus didn't already know that about him, right? We confess our sins to God. We're not informing God of anything. He already knows. Confession of sin helps us acknowledge and deal with the reality of our own broken relationship and our broken fellowship with God. We need to come to grips with who we are as sinners in need of grace, in need of forgiveness, in light of who God is. And sometimes it takes a paradigm bomb to go off in our life for that to happen, doesn't it? The death of a loved one, a severe illness, an accident, jail time, a sudden disability, or an awesome display of something supernatural before your very eyes, a paradigm bomb. Sometimes it's God uses those things to wake us up spiritually. So what's the big picture going on here, and what's going on in our passage of Luke chapter 5? Here we have Jesus preaching the word of God to a crowd on a beach. He sees some fishing boats. He gets into Simon's boat, and he continues to preach the word of God. What is he doing? Well, he's fishing for people, right? He's fishing for people from the boat there with the word of God. But he's also showing the apostles, and he's teaching them what they're going to be doing. Jesus doesn't just disappear from the boat, leaving Simon with the slimy smelly fish. No, he tells him instead in verse 10, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. From now on, you will fish for people. Instead of chastising him or calling him out or making his sins public for everyone to know or punishing him for being a sinful man, Jesus calls him to ministry. He says, oh, you realize, you acknowledge that you're a sinful man. You acknowledge your brokenness. You acknowledge you need me. You're ready for ministry. You're ready to serve. You're ready to fish for people. Jesus calls Simon to join him in fishing for people with the word of God, and the result will be abundance, overwhelming abundance of believers, the church. You see, God is a seeking God, a searching God, and Luke will continue to tell us about that in chapter 15 in the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Simon, you will not remain who you are. Your sinfulness will not define who you are either. Your career or profession will not define who you are. Jesus says from now on, you will fish for people. Jesus says you're going to be my fisherman. And you're going to see some amazing things that sometimes are going to blow your mind. And it'll be great. Come and follow me. Jesus calls Simon the sinner. Later, he'll be called the rock upon which Jesus will build his church. That is, the church that confesses the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It says Simon, James, and John, and maybe others, they pulled those half-sunken boats up on the shore, boats loaded with valuable fish. And then in verse 11, it says what? It says they left everything to follow him. They left job, they left career, they left their families, they left their former identity, they left their former worldviews that no longer work for what they just saw or have been seeing in Jesus. They left everything to follow him. Now, this was more than just a good fishing trip, wasn't it? Something very unexpected and miraculous happened out there on the lake that day. How else would you explain the immediate and profound response of all those career fishermen? It's as if they left boats full of cash there on the beach. Money, career, family, houses, none of that's really important after you meet Jesus. Jesus changes priorities. Out there on the boat, God revealed himself through Jesus. God revealed his abundant love and goodness and the fact that he indeed can command nature to do his bidding. The glory of God is revealed in Christ. And you know what? Jesus continues to call us to new life in him too, and to be on mission together with him in this broken and hurting world. He calls us sinners in the narrow boats of our lives, in our small world views, and he says, from now on, you'll work for me. From now on, you'll be my fisherman. Jesus calls Simon Peter, as he calls each of us, to change and to help others get caught up in the goodness and the abundance of God, to get caught up in all the good that God is doing in the world, to get caught up with God's work through teaching, mentoring young people, healing and caring for the sick, caring for the vulnerable, giving to those in need. But in order to get caught up into all that God is doing and to put worldly pursuits in their proper perspective, we have to be overtaken by awe. The awe of God's glory in Christ. And I pray that that would be true for all of us. Would you pray with me? God of the deep waters, we come to you with our fears and our imperfections this morning, our excuses. Lord, we're tired of sitting on the sidelines. Help us to follow you into the unknown, the unexpected, the adventure of life lived by faith and not by sight. Thank you for your grace that confronts us in our apathy and our excuses. Thank you for seeking and saving those who are lost, alone, or hounded by sin, the guilt, and the cares of this world. May you be praised and adored this week and always, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and evermore. Amen.